Yeah, we're really excited about the new location. Pastor Vince is the pastor of the Oasis Middlesex County, which is in South Plainfield, which that was an amazing service today over in South Plainfield, wasn't it?
Praise God. Yeah, it was fun.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Amen.
And so fact of the matter is, just to give you an update, what happened is Regal Cinema basically, to put a positive spin on it, kicked us out. They kicked us out, and we have nowhere to go. And we searched 40 different locations. I mean, we went by every single churches, halls, you know, restaurants. Man, I was telling Vince at the other service, we'd even meet in the funeral parlor if we could, right?
I'm ready.
Yeah, he's ready.
As long as I have more space in the front.
He could preach, you know, horizontal. But we looked all over, and the only place that really opened up, believe it or not, was a place we didn't want to go and didn't plan on going, and that was 100 College Avenue in New Brunswick, which is the exact location of where Rock meets. So Rock, if you don't know, is our Rutgers Oasis church there. It's totally run, operated by college students there at Rutgers University. It's an awesome new work that's launching September 11. So as of September 4, we'll be coming there, Oasis Middlesex County. It's going to be awesome. We're really excited. You know, many things in our lives that you don't plan, God plans, works out for the best. Amen. Amen. And that's exactly what we're doing September 4. It's an amazing opportunity, not just to reach more college students, but we want to reach that whole new area there. What an opportunity. New Brunswick, very multicultural, Somerset, Franklin, Vince, North Brunswick. It's amazing what we can do. And we have thousands of people walking by the exact location every day, right outside the door. We can have barbecues out there. We can bring the band out there. It's going to be an amazing time. I want you to pray for it. And so we just want to let you know as a church family what's going on over in that location.
It's a great opportunity.
Amen.
It is.
So I'm going to hand it over to you now, brother.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. God bless you guys.
Thank you. Amen. Praise God. It's good to be here. Amen. Good morning or good afternoon, close to it, right? Make sure I got some of these things ready to go. Okay. Okay, good mid-morning, afternoon, or whatever you want to call it. Today, we're starting a new series called Eight. Somebody's got their head in the pool room already, right? Kind of teeing them up. The power of the gospel of grace. Amen? Grace. Grace, God's love, God's unmerited favor. And we're going to be dealing with a portion of Romans 8, set free. Set free. Let's pray. Father, I believe this message is vital to our hearts and lives as Christians. God, I ask that you'd give us understanding, and at the same time, I thank you for anointing and inspiring me to share this message in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Paul the Apostle. Everybody's heard of him? Well, if you didn't, well, I'll just introduce you right now. Say hello, Paul. Paul the Apostle, he's awesome. He's really an awesome apostle. When we initially opened the book of Romans, because he's the author of it, we're told a lot of different things. We find things in there like the nature of man, our struggle with our fallen nature, and some things called justification and righteousness. That's where I know sometimes you may get a little bit, what's that mean? I don't know if I get all that. But you know what? That's cool because we're going to kind of tackle a little bit of what that means in the big picture. And according to Paul, what I like is when you take the whole book of Romans, according to Paul, Jesus, I like this, he has taken care of everything through his death, burial, and resurrection. Get what I'm saying to you? Everything has been taken care of, through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Everything has been taken care of. Isn't that cool? I mean, you know, he's done it. He's taken care of business. He has come to give us new life. And this new life is and has been provided for through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. It's really good. Really good stuff. But there's a question in our mind. I don't want to say a problem, even though I had that originally in my notes, but there's kind of a problem, you know, or there's kind of like this challenge in, when you're reading the 8th chapter of Romans. Because the thing that we want to ask ourselves is how? How do we now live a life that is set free by Jesus Christ? How do you now live this life? How do you live a life that's set free by Jesus Christ? How do you live it? And that's an important thing to ask. It's a good thing to ask. And it's okay to ask. And it's even okay to wonder about it. And the good news is that this entire chapter answers how we are able to live the Christian life in God's service, even fulfilling the righteousness of the law, you know, even in the Old Testament. So the big answer, the big question, or the answer really is to the how is basically this, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is how. The Holy Spirit is the how. How do I live a life that is set free by Jesus Christ? How do I live that life? By the Holy Spirit. The entire chapter answers how we're able to live this Christian life in God's service, even fulfilling the righteousness of the law. Don't you like that? Isn't that good news? And it is as you and I, could you bring up that slide? It is as you and I walk under the directive of the Spirit that A, the requirement of the law is satisfied. B, we will not be dominated by the power of the sinful nature. And C, we thus live a life of freedom. A life of freedom. If you look at the world around you, even our own lives, we're looking for freedom, are we not? If you look at the ministry of Jesus, and you look at the ministry of John the Baptist, the distinguishing mark is what? John's ministry is towards repentance. Jesus' ministry is towards empowerment and freedom. It's not to say that repentance is not required, but I'm just saying Jesus came to bring empowerment and freedom. And if you don't know it, in this chapter alone, the 8th chapter, the Holy Spirit is mentioned over 20 times. Over 20 times. Now, here are some things, you can bring up the next slide, that we find. There are more, don't get me wrong, but here are some things we find and we can identify. The Holy Spirit is what? The means of our walk? The object of our thoughts, right? Isn't that good? The object of our thoughts. I want to think the things of God, don't you? And you know that we need help with that. All of us do. Me too. The regenerator of our spirit and our body. The means of our conquest, the old nature. The leader of our lives. Is that good or what? Okay, cool. I like it. Sounds good to me. I'm signed up. Okay, let's open to Romans chapter 8. If you have an iPhone, an app, or whatever. If you have your own Bible, Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. Okay, let me see who can turn it the quickest or hit on the app the quickest. I'm only kidding. Okay, I'm going to start reading. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. There is, therefore, now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I'm not going to read some translations, add something else within that verse. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free. Now that's good news, isn't it? Has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and the sinful nature and death, which is, you know, complete bondage. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh and its sinful nature, could not do. By sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh or our sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Okay, help me out a little bit here. Paul's doing something here. Paul's doing something good here. And what I like what he's doing here is that Paul is actually describing to you and I what we already have as a result of our union with Christ. So you read these four verses, you read some of the other things in the chapter, but right here, right now, he is describing something to you and I that we already have as a result of our union with Christ. You see the benefits of serving the Lord? You see the benefits of giving your life to the Lord and walking with him? Not something that you and I have to obtain, something we already have. So in other words, when you receive Jesus, you are in union with him. Now, I know a lot of us know this, but let's put it in perspective. You are one like husband and wife. Isn't that cool? There's a good, solid relationship there. And guess what? You get to enjoy it, but yet God enjoys it. Isn't that great? God enjoys our relationship. He enjoys his relationship with us. Okay, let's bring up the big picture verse. Who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. What is this? It's useful sometimes, right? We try to wash our clothes. So if there's a little odor around, you know we missed. I'm only kidding. Tide. When you see tide, what do you think?
Laundry.
Okay. Yeah, which washing could be a little bit, right? What else do you think, though? What is it? What's the use of it? Clean, right? Clean clothes. When you look at tide, the first thing you're thinking is that, hey, this could do the job, right? This could do the job. It can clean, okay? And sometimes as Christians, you and I in life, though we're clean, though we're forgiven, yet we're carrying around some things, some weights and some things that keep us held down or in bondage. Because you know what? The tide cleans, but how would you like to walk around carrying this all day? Right? These things are a pain to carry. Of all the things, when you go to the supermarket, this is the last thing you want to put in your hand and carry around. Like, you know what I'm saying to you? And even when you go downstairs, you're like, I wish somehow there was a faucet that this could turn on the detergent rather than pick this up and kind of take it out. Because our Christian lives, in the same way, even though we're clean, sometimes we carry around burdens with us. Right? We carry around struggles. We carry around things that kind of weigh us down, or if you want to use a different word, maybe keep us somewhat in bondage. But today, we're going to begin to break this down, Romans 8, 1 through 4. I believe there are three components to remind us and to help us to live a life set free in our walk with God. I believe there are three components to remind us and help us to live a life set free in our walk with God. One, and you can bring up the slide. Good. Thank you. The truth of our freedom. The truth of our freedom. I don't know about you, but you know what? I know myself. I can't always rely on myself. Can you rely on yourself all the time? Ask Lil, can you always rely on me? She'll just keep laughing. You know, I can't even rely on myself at times. I can't. In many ways, I know I can't. Lil, you know where my keys are. Like, you know, men, like, you know what I'm saying to you? Like, I go home, I'm looking for something. It's up in the drawer, hon. The first drawer on the right. It's not there, hon. It's not there. I'm telling you, it's not there. I looked already. It's there, love. Hun, I looked, it's not there. I'm telling you, it's not there. So what happens? I'll be there in a minute. So I'm like, okay, let me just go to the bathroom while she's looking. I come out, she says, here it is. Where was it? Right where I told you. We can't rely on ourselves. Like, you understand what I'm saying? We're liable. We're not always dependable. I don't know about you, but I don't even feel comfortable always relying on myself. I don't. I'm going to be honest with you. Let's read this verse for a second. There is, therefore, now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But, you know, when it comes to God and our walk with God, the truth of our freedom resides not in how you and I relying on ourselves, but relying on where? God's word. God's word. What do you find in God's word? You find what? What's the second word there? Truth. Because you know what? Everything in life is, well, not everything. A lot of things in life are false. You understand what I'm saying to you? If you think about yourself all the time, you keep your mind focused on yourself and without God and without the Bible, guess what? Our thoughts are false. Our mind is corrupt, you know. Our old nature is corrupt, but with the power of God's word and the Holy Spirit, our mind, the object of our thoughts become His. And this is what's true. It's not how I feel. It's what God's word says is what's true. Not how I feel. But I like this because Paul is very conclusive here. He uses the word therefore. In other words, it's conclusive or a done thing. Of the past, it's over with. Condemnation no longer exists for those who are in Christ. In other words, there's no room or place for peace for meal either. We do not live in and out of condemnation from what perspective? From God's perspective, not from your perspective, because the scripture is very clear. Paul did not say, he's not talking about how you and I may feel at times because you live in this world. You live in this world. But this is why God's truth, God's word is so vital. It is. You know, sometimes when we think about the Bible, it's like, well, I just did my reading today. Well, no, you and I want to get in the Bible because we want to discover this is what God says about me. This is how God views me. And this is how God sees me. And it helps you and I in our walk. It helps you and I to live as God's designed us to live. That's what's good about the Bible. It's not just a devotional and, oh, I got to do my daily duty today. No, it's a relationship. Likewise, it does not mean that we only have no condemnation in the moment and that later on down the road, sometime in the future, it's going to return. In other words, God's going to say, you know what? I let you off the hook 5 years ago and, you know, you're my child, but you know what? Now I'm going to, you know, make you feel condemned or something like that. God doesn't function like that, folks. He's not like people are. You know, he doesn't throw up things in our face. What Christ did on the cross, it's done, it's complete, it's over with. He doesn't need to go back and do it again. And he's not going to, because you know what? As far as God's concerned, you're free, and that's all there is to it. You're free. My perspective, from God's perspective, you're free. That's how God sees you or not. And I like that. How about you? And that, my friends, is the truth. So when we say there's no condemnation, you know what's cool about it, too, is that you and I don't even need to make that true. We don't need to work at it. No, from the Father's perspective, the blood has been shed. The work is already complete. You could bring up the next slide. Sanctify them in the truth. Sanctify them doesn't mean that, you know what, I can pick on Jesse because he doesn't care. Sanctify doesn't mean I got to give you a good whipping, son. No, sanctify means, you know, because God knows that, you know, we can't depend on ourselves. We can't rely on ourselves. So he's saying, you know what? Take what's written in the Bible. Take what I say about you and start digesting that. This is how I feel about you. This is what I've done for you. This is means what you are. This is who you really are. Not how you feel about who you are, but this is who you really are. And where do you find that? What does he say? Your word is truth, right? Your word is truth. So it's okay. Don't rely on what you think or how you feel. And thank God that God doesn't rely on that either. So we have the truth of our freedom. The truth of our freedom. Let me say something before we go a little bit further in that. Well, actually, I'm not. I'm going to skip to this other thing quickly. The security of our freedom. The security of our freedom. Let's bring up that. Good, great. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done, and this is what's cool. For God, who did this? What does he say there? For God has done, right? It doesn't say there's no intervention of man. You know what's cool about God?
God didn't wait for you and I to, you know, he didn't need man's intervention. He took the initiative all of himself. Now, don't you think that's magnificent? And yeah, he is magnificent. Yeah, amen. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, our corrupt nature, could not do. By sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned, he put to death, he just pushed it out of the way, he removed it, sin in the flesh. All right, I know sometimes we read this and we're like, what is he really talking about here? Well, very simple. Remember, the sinful nature is our old nature in Adam, whereby the life and the spirit is our new nature in Christ. The fact is, my friends, Jesus did what we could never accomplish. The cross, the grave, the resurrection are the means and reality of destroying sin and death. And I like this, and I want you to take this a little bit. And in the interchange, Christ becomes what we are so that we might become what Christ is. Did you get that? I'm going to repeat it one more time. And in the interchange, Christ becomes what we are so that we might become what Christ is. Could you bring up the next? Oh, I'm sorry. Let me add one more thing. On top of everything, when we talk about the Old Testament law, what's cool is that you don't need to worry. God's, the law's just to man is fulfilled in Christians, not through their acts of disobedience, but through their incorporation to Christ. Bring up the next slide. I like this. Revelation 1:8. He says, behold, I am alive. How long is he alive? Forevermore. Listen, you got to let this speak into your life. And I have kept, and I have the keys of death and Hades. Listen, look at it this way. I mean, if Jesus is alive forevermore, has the keys of death and Hades, and this is the person who indwells you and I, this is the person who lives inside of you and I would say God is taking care of business and he has secured us to himself. God is a keeper. God is a keeper. Do you ever remember, if you read the Bible and you read the story, do you remember there was a time where John the Baptist, Jesus came to be baptized by John, right? Do you remember that time? Jesus came to be baptized by John the Baptist. And if you remember, or if you know anything about the story, is that John, he not only sees like the Holy Spirit descend upon Jesus like a dove, he not only sees that, he hears something. What does he hear God the Father say about Jesus? Anybody remember? And what else did he say? In whom I am well pleased. Now I want you to think about that for a second. Why is that important? Did Jesus preach yet? Did Jesus heal the sick yet? Did he raise the dead? Did he cook the pasta and meatballs and lasagna to feed the 5,000 yet? Did Jesus do anything at all? Did he burp? Did he blink? Did he utter any, did he even have a little sermonette? Did he have anything like that? The answer you'll find is no. If you notice, think about that for a second. He did nothing, yet the Father said, this is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. And think about it. If you're in Christ and you're God's child, think of the Father's view of you. In the same way, God is approved of you. You have value. You belong to him. Is that good? You didn't do anything. You didn't even do anything. You didn't have to earn anything. You didn't have to try to make something happen. God is completely well pleased in you without doing anything. This is what it means that there's no condemnation. This is what it means that, you know, the truth of our freedom. This is what it means in terms of the security of our freedom. Because God has stepped in without man doing anything. And even you think of Jesus, he's got the Father's approval before he did anything. And if you're in Christ, you have the Father's approval. Think about it. You have God the Father's approval. Well, Vince, I don't feel that way. How long have we been married? 350? About 350 years. Do you think that I'm always on top? Do you? Come on, answer me. Also, I'm going to pinch somebody or something like that. Stick a pin in somebody. Do you think I'm always on top? Do you think life is always wonderful for me and I'm just, oh, hey, man, everything's going great. Hey, Jess, man, I don't have a problem in the world. I never do, man. I'm okay, brother, man. Hey, smooth sailing all the time, man. You see, I'm skipping on water all the time. You know, everything's great, man. You'll never see a frown on me, baby. No way, man, because you know what? I'm good all the time, and that's it, and life is A-okay, man. Everything's cool. Do you think that life is like that for me? I'm a person like you and I, like you. I'm a person just like you. There's struggles, there's ups, there's downs, there's ins, there's outs, all that stuff. But the beauty of everything is that, praise God, God says, you have my complete approval. In other words, it's not only an approval thing, it's God's the Father's way of saying, you know what, this is my beloved Son whom I'm well pleased. You know, that's a belonging. This Son of mine belongs to me. He's got my complete approval. He's got my complete satisfaction. Now think about it. You're a child of God. You are a child of God. If you're a believing Christian, you have the same value. You have the same value. Oh, Vince, I don't know if I have that value. You know, I don't know. You do. You do. That's what Jesus came for. Christ becomes what we are so that we might become what Christ is. Okay, number three. So we had the truth of our freedom. We had the security of our freedom. Three, the application of our freedom. By the way, I think this is very important. Romans 8:4. In order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. Who? In who? Fulfilled in who? Us, right? Us, here, right, humans, exactly. Who walk not according to the flesh or the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. This sounds great. This really sounds great. A little history about me. I've been in a church for 30 years. I've been a believing, say, Christian. You could name all the labels on it, born again. I've been in for 30 years. The one big question we always have is, and the big question that I, you know, people don't always answer is, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit or according to the Spirit? What does that mean? What does it look like? I don't want you to answer it, but what does it mean? We often ask this. You read this. Is that the verse? Yeah, 4. Look at it. Look at what he says at the end. Who walk not according to the flesh or sinful nature, but, or the dominion of the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. But what does that mean? What does that look like? How do you walk according to the Spirit and in the Spirit? What do you think it means? Hi, Emily. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. How's everything?
Good.
Yeah?
Yeah?
Can you shake my hand or something? Oh, wait a minute. I'm in the Spirit. You can't touch me. I'm too holy. I'm walking in the Spirit, Emily. You can't get that close to me. Is that what walking in the Spirit is? Now, Dave's wife, Teresa's back here. Hey, Teresa, you know, look at me. You're down there. I'm up here. I'm more spiritual than you because I'm up here, you're down here. Is that walking in the Spirit? A form of spirituality? That I am so wonderful and you're not? That I'm more important than you are? What is walking in the Spirit? Is it something mystical? Oh, you can't touch me like we just did over there. Is it something being like a form of spirituality? You know what? That I'm better than you or I'm above you? Is that what it is? We find a lot of that, unfortunately, in our Western Christianity. Is it being a pastor? Oh, Vince, you're a pastor. You're spiritual. I am. I go home. Do I eat with my hands or eat with a fork? Both. when I go to the bathroom in a toilet bowl, do I sometimes miss? No, I'm just trying to be real here. You understand what I'm saying to you? What do we define as being spiritual? I don't understand this. We're going to get to it in a second. No, it's not about being a pastor. But you're called. No, it's not about one's calling. Oh, but Vin, you believe in the power of God, the supernatural, the gifting. That means you walk in the Spirit. No, that doesn't define a person that walks according to the Spirit. God could take anybody and anybody and everyone if they're open, and God could use anybody at any point in time if they want. I'm nothing special. We all have value. Remember we talked about Jesus and the Father's approval of him. Okay, let's take a look at this video to give you and I, or at least to begin to give you and I an idea of what it looks like to walk in the Spirit or according to the Spirit.
Alone.
Of course you are. And I'm coming with you.
You can't swim. Sam! Sam!
Promise, Mr. Frodo. A promise. Don't you leave him, Samwise Gamgee. And I don't mean to. I don't mean to.
Oh, Sam.
This a little bit. Can you bring up the next slide? See, when you read Romans 8:4, it's very similar to Galatians 5:13 and 14. For you were called to freedom. Freedom. Brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh or sinful nature, but through love serve one another. You want to talk about being free or living a life that's set free or walking in the Spirit? For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Church, this is the reality. To walk in the Spirit according to the Spirit means you and I are building relationships with one another. That's what it means to walk according to the Spirit. That's what it really means. You are building relationships with one another. Even those here in our midst. Let me tell you something. Jesus did not die and give us the Holy Spirit that we should live under the dominion of our sinful nature, flesh if you will. But no, rather walk according to the Spirit. Think of it this way. How are you? You come here often? Oh, okay. Well, nice to meet you. Take care. Bye. What good is it if we see each other, even here on a Sunday, even pray for one another, and you guys know I'm all for that, but we don't spend time opening our hearts and getting to know each other? What good is it? What are you fulfilling? How are you walking according to the Spirit? What level of freedom can you maintain? Freedom comes through relationship with God and people. That's biblical. You can't find a place of separation in that in the New Testament. You can't. You can't find a separation of that in the New Testament. In its whole context, you can't. You cannot find that. Think of it this way as well. As believers, you and I have a responsibility to live a life with integrity through the Holy Spirit, not only in building relationships with one another, but as much as within our means, fixing the holes in the ones that exist. You see, Christianity, the roadblock to Christianity, the crossroads to Christianity is we reach a place, a point of no return, when you know what? That's the part where we stop. And you know what? We live an unfulfilled life. You have to. Church, it's relationship. It's relationship. It's building relationship. That's what it means to walk in the Spirit. That's what it means to walk according to the Spirit. Because you know what? I'm tired of our culture that, you know, we see somebody and we don't even know them. And the first thing we see from them, their actions or their something that they say, and it's not necessarily a mean thing. We throw up our hands and we walk away. And we judge them. That's Christ? That's Jesus? That's how he lived? Come on, give me a break. We almost live in a society, even sometimes within the church, we have no level of tolerance to be relational. And where is the love of God in that, may I ask you? Honestly. Listen, I'm all for all the good things that there are out there. Believe me. Even like, you know, you visit and we take time for each other, we pray for each other, but there's this sense of also we need to allow ourselves, we need to connect and build relationships. That's walking in the Spirit. I'm sorry, you cannot find a place, really, again, in the New Testament where that's not there. It's not. And if we need help with it, well, you just ask God. That's what the Holy Spirit is for. The love of God has been placed in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit is joined to us to walk in newness of life. The Spirit has made us alive. The Holy Spirit has made us alive to pursue the full measure of Christ, bearing fruit in his image. That fruit is measured in and through our relationship with each other. That's how it's measured. It's really measured that way. Think of the parable of the Lazarus and the rich man. Quickly, I'm closing down. The rich man never had any time for the poor man. And he wound up in hell. I'm just trying to draw an analogy of relationship. We need to take time for each other. I know, you know, I work and do this full time. I got a family. But you know, if we all take time to build relationship and try to love and invest in people as much as within our means and get to know each other, bring up the last slide. Be devoted to one another in love. It's not mental and emotional assent only. That's not what the Bible has in mind. There needs to be praxis. But let me just say in closing, in the grand scheme of things, after all that Jesus has done, with God giving us his best when we were at our worst, the good news is that God the Father will not forgo any degree of love for us, regardless of what we encounter. So let me ask you something today. Are you here today? Are you carrying any type of weight? There's freedom for you. There's freedom. Don't worry. Don't be afraid. It's hollow, like here. Don't worry. God's not going to beat you up. There's freedom. You know, get prayer if you need prayer, if you need something. If we can't meet here, we'll meet in the other room. There's freedom. Don't worry. I'm not going to beat you up. I won't bite. Maybe on Mondays I bite, but not Sundays. Michael and Rebecca are going to be up here. You know, you need something. You're struggling with something. We all do. We all do. That's why we need each other. But also, finally, close your eyes. Is there anybody here today? I don't know if there's. If you never give your life to Christ, raise your hand. If you've never given your life to Jesus, but you'd like to. You would love to give your life to Christ. Raise your hand. Just simple. Raise your hand. Are you here today? You would like to have a life and walk with Jesus. It's the greatest thing going. Don't be afraid. We won't call you out. I'll come to you maybe on the side later on. Don't worry. We're not here to embarrass you. We're here to love you. Please know, faith is not flawlessness. It's not perfection. When Peter stepped out on the boat and he began to sink, Jesus didn't say you shouldn't have done that. Take a step of faith. Just take a step of faith. Is there anybody last time? Just raise your hand, slip it up. Nobody's looking, don't worry. Is anybody? Okay, amen. We love you very much.